accession number 3901, reel 4.
Alan Lawson, Reel 4. How had Ivor Montague contacted you in the beginning?
Well, we'd known each other for many years. He'd known my father, because my father was in the film business, and had known him through the London Film Society, which Ivor was one of the leading lights. Ivor Montague was also on the council of ACT, as I was. And so, I suppose, if you like, we knew each other well, and that was it. He asked me if I would go, and so I did, along with several others. There was Arthur Graham, who was, again, a member of the council. It was Arthur Graham, who was a member of the council, and also, an obvious choice. There was Thorold Dickinson, who was also a member of the council. There was Sidney Cole, who was also a member of the ACT council, and a chap called Phil Leacock. I'm not quite sure how he came in. He may well have been a friend of Sidney Cole's. I'm not sure. He was an editor. Sid Cole was going to direct, and Thorold Dickinson was going to direct. Arthur Graham was going to photograph, and so was I going to photograph. We left from Victoria, I can remember that. We had visas. We were going out with the full blessing of the Spanish government. I don't think at that particular stage you had to get a special visa. An authority to travel, rather, I think, to Spain. I think there was an authority to travel to Spain ultimately came in with the so-called non-intervention treaty between France and England and the other people. So that we just, we took the train, crossed the channel. It was the night train down to Perpignan by road to La Jonquera, and across the border into Pertus, and then down the road to Barcelona, which was where the government was. Madrid, of course, being partly under siege, and so the Spanish government was based in Barcelona.
Had the British government showed any interest in your journey?
That I wouldn't know. Probably. We were seen off by some gentlemen in kind of bowler hats. So at least we believe we were.
What did you do when you arrived in Barcelona?
It's a long while ago. I suppose we went round and met various personalities. Trying to think who they were. I know the equivalent of the Speaker of the Spanish Parliament. That was the Cortes. Then we met. He was the Foreign Minister. Del Valle, Alvarez Del Valle. We met him. We met him quite often, actually. reminded me of a little bit of Cecil McGiven of BBC television after the war. Very similar person to look at.
What was your official connection with the Spanish government?
At that particular time, we were members of an English film company making films with the blessing of the Spanish government, and that was our relationship. Then when the road was going, well, I think the road was cut between Barcelona and Valencia. It was decided to, call a halt to the filmmaking, and the crew returned to England, leaving me behind with one of the cameras, which was an IMO, which Ivor had hired from somewhere or other, and film stock. I can't remember how much film stock, and my task would then be to film, news stories to send back to England. So I used to film, whatever I felt would be valuable, send back.
What sort of stories did you film?
Aftermath of air raids. Some of those were pretty ghastly. I knew what Blitz, by the time I got back to England, I knew what Blitz was. The bombing of British shipping. I think occasionally I went up to the front line with various delegations, and I filmed those delegations.
Did you film actual front line fighting?
I don't, at that juncture, I don't think I did. In fact, I'm certain I didn't. No, I didn't. I concentrated more, if you like, on the civilian side of the war.
Were you armed?
No. Oh no, heaven no. No, I was a civilian, just with a camera and film stock.
Did you ever film air raid during the actual?
Yes, I did. I filmed an air raid during the actual raid. I also, I can remember, we filmed a German pilot who'd been shot down, and we filmed his interrogation. When he told us, in fact, that of course there were the number of German planes that were being used, where they'd come from, and what ammunition, and the number of, and we also filmed an Italian pilot who'd been shot down.
Did you have a sound record?
We borrowed the equipment from a company called Film Popular in Barcelona. Again, this material was, or copies of it, was shipped back to England, but not taken.
Was it sent to the British government or to?
Oh no, to newsreel companies. It would come back to Ivor Montague's company, Progressive Films, and he would then offer it to the newsreels. But as I say, the newsreels didn't want to know.
Was his price perhaps too high?
No, it wasn't a question of price. It was a question of politics, really. The Daily Mail had connections with. I think that it was the Daily Mail had connections with Movietone. The Pathé had connections with one of the newspapers, and. The Spanish Republican government was not a popular government, these papers weren't supporting. So, naturally, they didn't take the material. So, it got no showings.
Did this influence what you filmed?
No, because I'm I'm sure the only thing they would have been interested in filming would have been a picture of Franco coming down, you know, coming down in victory, down the Avenida, whatever it's called in Barcelona. They weren't interested in this in the Republican government at all.
Did you meet other newsreel cameramen?
There weren't any other newsreel cameramen other than the Spanish newsreel cameramen. There were no English newsreel cameramen at all. Never. And to the best of my knowledge, there was no representation of the still photographers from the agencies. At least there was no British representation. They might have. I think that the Spanish government did provide a picture service, but whether the agencies took it or not, I've no idea. I doubt it very much. It was very difficult to get stuff through, or if you like, get past this rigid barrier, not being interested in the Republican cause. It was not popular, Rick. Republican cause, let's face it.
How frustrating did you find that personally?
Well, very. I mean, because in fact it was a denial of everything the British press said they stood for, and for that matter the newsreels stood for, but you know, it was a denial of the very basis of it.
You make representations of it.
Well, I couldn't because I was in Spain. I know that Ivor Montague did his best, but you know, again, they had the whip hand. They didn't take it.
Did you also take still
photos? Ultimately, I did. When I say ultimately, what happened was Ivor Montague could no longer afford to pay for the hire of the IMO camera and supply me with film stock, which is, you know, which wasn't particularly cheap. As my visa was on Progressive Film Institute, I had to go back to clear that visa. So I came back to England, and I was in England, I think, for about a fortnight. Found somebody else to sponsor me. It was a paper called Spain Today, and it was edited by a Spanish scholar called Charles Duff, I know in those days he produced one of the best kind of English-Spanish grammar textbooks. Anyway, Charles Duff sponsored me, so I got a new visa. And went out again under his sponsorship, and became a still photographer, working for the Spanish government, and again trying to place our stuff in England, place our stills in England. I would be attached, when a delegation came out from England, I would be attached to take pictures. Again hoping that there would be some interest shown, but whether there was or not, I don't know. Not film, photograph. Nehru, with Krishna Menon, and there was an Indian barrister lady, and whose name was Bratislava, a trade union delegation which consisted of Little of the AEU, forgot what his Christian name was. I think it was the general secretary of ASLEF of that day. I think his name was Monson. There was somebody from the South Wales Miners Federation, or rather South Wales Miners Union, and I'm not quite sure who it was. There was Dr. Summerskill, Edith Summerskill, now Lady Summerskill, with Hamish Hamilton, the publisher. I think the Dean of Canterbury, Hewlett Johnson. I think he came out. I'm not sure. I think he was there with him. Yes, that's right, with his wife. Now who else? Oh, I can't think anymore.
Did you form an opinion?
Well, you can't really. They were very pleasant people to talk to. Extremely pleasant people to talk to. But you know, my kind of relationship was one of a. It was a very passing relationship, except Krishna Menon, whom in fact I. He knew my brother. I think he'd been a pupil of my brother's. I'm not sure. He was a barrister, and my brother was a barrister, and I think he'd known Krishnaman. He was a very he suffered very badly from his health, and he could be very difficult, because he did suffer very badly from his health. He was a vegetarian, and a very strict vegetarian. Food was very difficult in Spain, extremely difficult. And most of the time he was starving, because there was nothing for him to eat. There was no milk, there were no eggs, there were no vegetables. It was kind of, he lived, I suppose, on bread. And it was made from rice flour. I don't know what else. I suppose a bit of fruit. There would be the odd bit of fruit around, but that was it.
Some travelling with Nehru.
Yes, he was part of Nehru's party. There were the three in that party, I think. No more than that.
Were you paid?
No, I was not paid at all. The Spanish government paid my hotel bill. The British Battalion, if I was in need of any money to buy anything, the British Battalion would buy it, or give me the money to buy it. They kept me supplied with a loaf. I used to get, it'd probably be a stale loaf, but still, soak it a bit in water and then fry it in olive oil, which they used to provide me with. I had a Primus stove, which they supplied me with. Petrol, which they supplied me with.
Where were you living at?
I was living in the Gran Vía Hotel in Barcelona. This was my base. I used to sometimes wake up in the morning and find a stranger in bed with me, be somebody from the British Battalion, who'd come back for a bit of leave into Barcelona, and my bedroom was the port of call. I would find strange bedfellows. No doubt, sometimes fleas as well. However, they kept me supplied.
What were the other contacts you had with members of the British Battalion?
Well, I went up. When the Republican forces went on the offensive and crossed the Ebro River, I went up to the battalion lines. They were actually in reserve, but they weren't in the front line, and they were up in reserve. I went up there. I was there when they crossed the river, when they went across. That was quite something.
You filmed that?
No, I was a still man. I was a still man by then. scene, so I didn't film it. And there's a limit. Again, you see, I had a Leica with one lens, which was I think it was a 50mm, and that was my lot. So the amount you could do with it is very limited. So it was just general coverage I was doing.
Where was the film process?
In Barcelona. That was part of, I used to have to sometimes print my own stuff, which I hated. I hated printing. I had a very nice boss who'd worked for Kodak, I think. I've forgotten what his name was. He was a delightful little man. Charming man. I'll remember his name later on. But he taught me quite a lot about film processing, and especially about film printing of stills. He was wonderful to watch, absolutely wonderful to watch. His name was Salgado, that's right, Salgado.
Did you have limitless supplies of film?
No, we didn't. Film stock was very difficult indeed, terribly difficult. I can remember going out on a story, and Capra was on the same story. I had one reel, I suppose, 36 exposures. I was expected to produce at least 18 out of that 36. And I can remember being told off by the head of the press section. I'll remember her name too. And she was comparing my work to Capra. Capra had taken, I think, something like about 6 or 7 rolls of film and produced a set of 12 pictures, which I thought was rather unfair. The woman, the head of the print section, was Constancia de la Mora. Her husband was, was the head of the Republican Air Force, Cisneros. His name.
Do you have any opinion on the famous picture by Capra of the soldier falling dead?
It's a very startling picture. Very startling picture. Whether he is falling dead or not, I'm not sure. Oh, I wouldn't know. Probably he is. I shouldn't belittle a man's work.
What was the story you were covering together with Cap?
Frankly, I can't remember. I just can't remember. So much happened, and one's frustrations kind of cloud the memory a bit, I think. I'm not sure where it was, but I certainly was on the story with Cap, but what one I don't know. It was towards the end. I think it was one of his last trips in. It might not have been Capra, but I'm fairly certain it was Capra. It was one of the famous people who did stuff for life.
Was it more or less frustrating to be a photographer rather than a cameraman in Spain?
Well, for me, who's a film cameraman, to be a photographer is very frustrating because you didn't have continuity. You didn't have action to carry your story through. You had to take a picture, and that had to tell the story. And that, I think, that is very difficult. I take my hat off to these people who can snap at the right moment and get the picture, get it, and there is the story. It's a wonderful gift to be able to. Be patient and push the button just at the right moment. I'm much too impatient, I think, for that. That's why I suppose I'm a film man. Because you can push the button, it's still running until you take your finger off. So it's happened, you've got it. But with a still photography, not so. Well, except, of course, it is now, because they've got motorized cameras. But even then, there's a limit. You see, you've only got 36 exposures.
Was your still work published?
It might have been in Latin America, I wouldn't know. It certainly wasn't in England. Let's say it was published in Latin America, because I can't prove it or disprove it.
Can you say something about the leaders of the British Battalion?
Well, I only knew the one that was some, was the final one. That was Sam Wilde, whom I liked very much. He was, I think, a very, very good leader. Strict, quite strict. Very fair. Humour, which is good, of course. And I think his carers liked him. I don't know. That was my feeling. I certainly enjoyed his company.
Did he have a difficult job?
Oh, heavens, yes. I mean, I think anybody under those circumstances would have a difficult job. You've got a real rag bag of types, incredible mixture of types. I mean, some obviously were soldiers of fortune. Some went. And they hadn't a clue why they went, became disillusioned because, it was tough, very tough. Equipment was pretty dreadful, or very, very scarce. And certainly, the food was pretty ribby.
Did your own political sympathies develop past your own time?
Well, I suppose they're bound to, yes. Sure, yes.
In which direction?
As the way they've been going. I mean, only confirmed, it was really a confirmation of what one had suspected or believed in. And it was confirmed.
What was your attitude to the British government by the time you left the thing?
Well, one was very cross, really, and very, very disappointed. It was very shame-making, really. Very shame-making.